بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون صدق الله العلي العظيم الحمد لله on Thursday يوم الخميس we have discussed with regard to this kitab we'll be doing in this period, and this is a very important cause of our life, that is how to make our namaz a real proper namaz. And if we concentrate in making this namaz a true and proper namaz, then we'll find a change in our whole life. Our deen will become correct, our dunya will become correct, and enjoyment of life will be a different aspect. And as we have mentioned, that we said that Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Ali said, but in fact it was not Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Ali, it was a judge in the time of the British, Judge Akbar Allahabadi, that is a person who was not even an alim. He has mentioned that where we will get this reality of deen, na kitabo se, na wazo se, nazar se peda. Deen hota hai buzurgo ki nazar se peda. So just to correct this, that this was not said by Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Ali, this was said by Judge Nazir Akbar Allahabadi, that if you want true deen, just by listening, by reading kitabs, you won't get it. By just listening to lectures, you won't get it. Na kitabo se, na wazo se, nazar se, even just by spending and giving lot of charity in the path of Allah, you won't get it. But where you will get it? In the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how we have ended last week's lesson, that a person who is not interested in correcting this namaz of his, and he performs a namaz of unmindfulness, then there is very, very stern warnings that have been mentioned in the hadith and in the Quran Sharif with regard to this. Further, with regard to the great virtues of namaz, etc., and how to make this namaz a real namaz, this ayat is mentioned here, قَدْ أَفْلَهَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That Allah Rabbul Izzat is saying that most definitely successful are the believers already. And who are those people? Which believers are successful? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those that are in their salah, they have khushu. And what is this khushu? Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great mufassir of Qur'an al-Kareem, has mentioned what is khashi'un. That is khaifuna qalban, sakinuna qaliban. That people stand in namaz in such a way, with such devotion and concentration and humbleness, that the heart is full of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khaifuna qalban. That I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Lord, my king, my master. You stand in front of a judge, how you stand with fear. You stand in front of a great personality, in front of your boss, how you stand. Allah Ta'ala, who is the king of all kings. So when a person stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this fear, and what will be the sign of this? Sakinuna qaliban. That this body of his, it's called qalib, which is holding the qalb, keeping the heart and the ruh, then you'll find your body is totally motionless. You won't be moving, you'll be totally concentrating in your salah. How to develop this and how to build this, inshallah, we will be doing these lessons. And if we realize that these are important lessons, that if you go to any seminar, or you'll pay thousands and thousands of rands, you won't get what you will get in these lessons. These are such lessons that the whole world put together cannot pay for these lessons. So we should realize, and very diligently and with great eagerness we should try and attend these lessons, and with this intention that for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how I can correct the greatest ibadah, that is my salah, and in turn my whole life will become correct. And enjoyment of life will be something else, as Hazrat explains in his bayans. What is true enjoyment of life? So a person has to develop this khushu, this concentration and devotion in salah. Further, with regard to this, it is and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that successful indeed are the believers who work towards this. But sadly today, we look for our success in the business. If my business is thriving, then I'm a successful person. If I get this degree, then I'm a successful person. If I get this type of car, or if I get this house in this area, then I'm a successful person. We are looking for our success everywhere else where it doesn't lie. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that success lies in salah. And for this, how important for us to realize it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed His special inviter and caller, the Muazzin, to remind us daily 5 times that Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, come to salah. And if you think that you got some other work that's more important, a big business deal, then don't fool yourself. That is not your success. Hayya ala falah, your success is here. That is why I'm calling you. And Allah is giving the special invitation. And when Allah Ta'ala says Allah wants to give us success, then Allah Akbar. Imam Raghib Asfahani rahmatullah alayh, a very, very great mufassir in his time, he has mentioned that the word falah in Arabic is the most comprehensive word you can ever find in any language. In other words, it encompasses every type of success a person is looking for. Whether success in your deen, success in your dunya, success in your health, success in your wealth, success with regard to your children, your family, whatever. Any and every type of success you are looking for, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that definitely the believers are successful. But who, which believers? That those that are concerned, and they will make their salah a salah. A salah with khashi'un, with devotion, with concentration. Then they will see they are successful in every aspect. And so Allah Ta'ala has been so kind. Our Shaykh Azman Abdul Hamid Sahib Madazil Ali explained so beautifully, Allah Ta'ala has given us a deen according to our desire. Every person's desire is, I must be a successful man. My family must be successful. My children must be successful. And we see Allah Ta'ala desires this for us all. And Allah has given us a prescription. But we don't adopt this prescription. And we have got our own idea of success and looking for it in all other ways. And where we end up? Into anxiety, depression, worries, etc. So now we should realize that I'm on the wrong road to success. Let me come on the right road. And then see what a person, how his life will start coming. And as we explained, let's start from the bottom. All these, the fazail, etc. that has been mentioned, we should pay attention in all these kitabs that are being read, the masail, etc. And then we'll see when we get the cherry on the top, then what enjoyment you'll get in your life. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala farmate ki ek martaba, Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne asman ki taraf nigaah utai. Further, with regard to this khushu, concentration and devotion, how important and how serious this matter is, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu says, on one occasion, in front of Nabi Kareem saw some I was, and Nabi saw some lifted his gaze towards the sky. And then what did Nabi saw some say? Or ye ishaad farmaya, ke is waqt ilm ke dunya se, ilm, is waqt ilm dunya se, khud jane ka waqt munkashif hua hai. Allahu Akbar. He says, at this time, Allah Ta'ala has opened to me and made me see that now knowledge is being lifted from the world. Imagine that time already, Nabi Kareem also has mentioned that now I see from the skies, knowledge is being lifted and taken away from this dunya. So Hazrat Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what is the explanation of this? Hazrat Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one great sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately he asked, and our life should be sacrificed on sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They were so concerned of the akhirat, and they asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and made matters easy for us. He asked, Ya Rasulullah, ilm humse kis tarah ut jayega? How will knowledge be lifted from us? In which way? Whereas we see the trend is, previous nations also, and we also, our trend is, hum log Quran Sharif padhte hain, aur apne aulaad ko padhate hain, aur woh isi tarah apne aulaad ko padhayenge, aur silsila chalta rahega. That we are reading Quran Sharif on our own. It means we learned how to read. So we reading, then we teaching it to our children. They will learn, they will be reading, they will be teaching to their children. And inshallah this process will carry on. So how will knowledge be lifted from this world? Allahu Akbar, what a reply Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne farmaya, main tujhe bara samajhdar khayal karta tha. Oh, Hazrat Ziyad radiallahu ta'anu, I regarded you as very intelligent, that you are an intelligent man, you'll understand what I'm saying, that knowledge is being lifted up from this dunya, and it's going up to the skies, it's going away from us in this world. I regarded you as very intelligent. This what you are saying, that you reading, you learned, you teaching your children, that is, ye Yahud wa Nasara bhi to Torah, Injil, parte te, parhate te, phir kya kar aman hua. We see the previous nations, Jews and Christians, they also, they learned the Torah, Injil, they taught it to their children, but what was the result? Just the outward form they had, just the outward picture of it, but the reality of Torah and Injil totally disappeared from it. That today you don't find, it's hard to find an original copy also. And it is totally out of their lives. It is not found in their lives whatsoever. If they really had Torah and Injil in their lives, then definitely they would have entered into Islam and realized that our link, that last link is will be broken. So they would have entered. But we find that the Jewish Christians, they also, and they also taught their children. And this is the condition today that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is warning us at that time already of such an important aspect which today we see apparent. That today the outward things of deen is apparent. The outward, like Allah Ta'ala says with regard to the kuffar, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They are only going to the dunya because they only know of the outward things. So big universities, big institutions also, and big titles also. But reality, they have got nothing. They don't even have respect. They don't even have etiquette whatsoever. So exactly the same. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us of this time. And further, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala says, that Abu Darda radiallahu ke shagir kehte hai, one of the students of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala says with regard to the same incident, ke maine dusre sahabi, Hazrat Ubada radiallahu se jaakar yeh kissa sunaya. That I went to another sahabi, that is, I heard this from my ustad, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, the student is saying, I heard this from my ustad, I got very, very worried when I heard this hadith. I went to another sahabi, Hazrat Ubada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I mentioned this incident, what my ustad taught us today. Unhone farmaya, ki Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sach kehte. Aur main batao ke sabse pehle kya cheez dunya se uthegi. Then he replied, that is, Ubada radiallahu ta'ala told the student of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, what your ustad has said is 100% true. And let me tell you, do you know what is the first thing that will be lifted from this world? As far as true knowledge is concerned, as far as reality is concerned, what will be the first thing that will be lifted to from this world? Let me tell you, sabse pehle namaz ka khushu uth jayega. Tu dekhega ke bari masjid mein ek shakhs bhi khushu se namaz padhne wala na hoga. The first thing that will be lifted from amongst knowledge with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I saw Allah is open to me, that knowledge is lifted from this world now. The first thing that will be lifted and taken away from the ummah is this devotion and concentration in salah, which is called khushu. This will be lifted, that you'll see the whole masjid is full with musallis, mashallah. But hardly any person will have khushu, devotion and concentration. And as Hazrat explains, this is the reality which Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, that sayati ala nasi zamanun la yabqa min al-islam illa smuhu wa la yabqa min al-qur'an illa rasmuhu. A time will come in the ummah that nothing will be left of Islam but just outward beautiful names, Ahmad, Muhammad, Abdurrahman, Amina, Fatima. But when you look at that person, no sign of Islam. Beautiful Muslim names, but just outward. Like our Shaykh gives a beautiful example, that if you take a Coca-Cola bottle, Hazrat says, I'm not giving the masala, don't even touch the Coke. It is poison. I'm just giving an example. In that bottle, if you put black vinegar and you give it to somebody, yes, Coca-Cola, he just takes, hardly just touches his tongue and you spit it out. He says, what you have given me. Today, the whole world are spitting us out. Because we have just got an outward picture of Islam. We have become like picture Muslims. Like Hazrat gives a beautiful example, that when you send your children, first you tell your children before they go to preschool, etc. You teach them about animals, you tell them how a lion is very dangerous, etc. Now the child goes to preschool, the first thing, the teacher will give them coloring books, they'll start coloring. He comes on one page, you see there's a lion picture. The teacher is telling them that now you must color in this lion. First he sees the picture, he gets a bit scared. But as he starts coloring, you see how this lion, I thought is very dangerous. But look at this lion, it can't do me anything. So as he's coloring, he tells his friend, see, this lion is, I'm more stronger than the lion. He takes his pencil, he pokes it in the eye of the lion. He takes his small scissor and he cuts the tail of the lion. You say, what does lion can do? This is a useless lion. It can't do anything to me. Why? This is a picture lion. What can a picture lion do? So Hazrat says, sadly today, generally, we as Muslims, we have become so weak as far as our deen is concerned, just an outward picture. So the world is doing what they want to us. They massacre us, they rape our women, they kill our babies, etc. And we can't say a word. The whole Arab world put together, all Muslim countries, can't utter one word. Then further, if you got little iman in you and you become a little stronger Muslim, then you become like a lion but in a cage, like in a zoo. You go to the zoo also, you show your child, there's a real lion. But that lion is also in a cage. That now, they say they also, they don't poke fun at the lion. That is, don't throw stones, don't put sticks or anything. But the children are children, they get naughty and they see the lion is in a cage, so they push a stick or they throw a stone. What can the lion do? See, what can the lion do to me? You see, so we also, those that are trying to bring a reality of deen in our lives, we are still like in the cage. Today Hazrat explained so beautifully, we want to go for Hajj, Umrah, we can't go without a passport photo. Whereas to take photos is totally haram. And today this reality has left our lives. That good people, ulama, on their cell phones, you'll see the picture on of their wives, of their children, and people are looking at it and they're proud to show it around. Allahu Akbar. One friend, Alim, he says, one of his Alim friends, his wife's friend told him that one Alim showed me the picture of his wife on the phone. And the way she is dressed, that type of Alim is okay for me. So this reality, this outside foolery that we think we in deen, but we far away from deen. So this reality, when a person becomes a lion that is in the jungle and is free, then see how the world will change. Like our Shaykh explained so beautifully, two old men went to the zoo and they are trotting along with their walking stick, slowly, slowly, slowly. Then all of a sudden they heard an announcement that a lion got loose from his cage and is on the run. So you people better move. You say the same old men who were trotting along with their walking stick, like they're aching, 120, 140 they put from it. You saw they were first out before the children also. So when we become real Muslims, then what is the world for us? Allah has promised, وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَلَوْنِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, that you will be the dominating force, provided you are believers, become believers. So outwardly also, just the name of Islam. And reality also, deen also, there'll be big madaris also. Knowledge of deen will be taught. Ulama will also be produced. Muftiyan will also be produced. But just the outward. As Hazrat explained, one is ilm-e nabuwat and one is nur-e nabuwat. One is the knowledge that you will get from the kitabs, you will get from the darul ulums, etc. But the nur, the reality of that knowledge, that will give you that strength, which will make your ma'lumat into ma'mulat, that you, what your knowledge you got, it must become transformed into action, it must be part of you. Like Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha explained, that what was the character of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Kana khuluqu al-Qur'an. His character was the walking Quran Sharif. So Quran doesn't have to be on the shelves. It mustn't be just on the books, etc. It must come into our lives. This reality, this current has to come into us. Then this reality will come. And sadly, Hazrat explained, this is the condition of all our ibadah today. That even Qurbani also, that outwardly, the reality of Qurbani, what has Qurbani become today? We don't want to dirty our kitchens, our clothes, etc. We say even scared to hold a knife. And to see blood, that's how weak Muslims we have become. Muslims mustn't be scared to see blood. So to slaughter that animal with your own hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stressed this so much that even women folk with our under parda conditions, they should try and slaughter their own animal. So to realize that I'm giving my blood for Allah. All my sacrifices, my desires, what is my blood? All my desires I will give for Allah. But today we just send a check abroad that in Malawi, in India, they don't have meat chain. So Hazrat says, you ask the Mufti, he'll say your Qurbani is made. But that reality of that Qurbani you won't get. Similarly, our zakat also. We're supposed to be going to the poor homes. See how they love. See how they stay, etc. Like Allah Akbar, one Hazrat Mawlana Ghazi Sahib of White River, once his family said that now this kitchen of ours is about old, this kitchen dresser, etc. We need a new kitchen scheme. So let's take us to the mall, etc. Let us go and see different kitchen schemes. So he said, no problem. Then he took his wife, they went into the car, he went to where his maid was staying. His maid's name was Sophie. So they came to her house. Sophie was shocked. The boss is here and the madam is here. So they went in there. She said, Sophie, we want to come into your house. They went into her house. He told Sophie, make us a cup of tea. And what she had in the house? Small home. She made a cup of tea on that primer stove. And what furniture she had? One, two boxes where she's keeping her few items. Then, she said, why you brought us here? Say, let's see Sophie's kitchen scheme first. Then we'll decide which one to buy. When they finished that visit, his wife said, let us not go even to the bazaar. I am happy with what I got. What I got is not even 5-star and 10-star. So this reality, zakat supposed to be that we go and see how the poor people are living. Then give them, then you'll feel, they'll appreciate that. But today we just send it to different institutions, etc. No problem, our zakat will be made. But with the reality, that current of zakat, we won't get in our lives. And we won't appreciate it. Similarly, Hajj, Umrah, today we hear Umrah tour, Hajj, three haram tour, etc. It just has become a tourist attraction. And we go on tour and we see, sadly today we see people in Hajj, after they finish the Arafat and they're going next day, Jamarat to Pel Shaitan. People with Bermudas and skippers and knapsacks on their backs, but they're going to Pel Shaitan. So where are we going for Hajj, or are we going just on a camping trip or whatever? So this reality, Nabi Kareem Sawasam has foretold how many years ago. And today, how fortunate are we? We have got a sheikh in this zamana, the sheikh of the time, who knows and concern and fikr of our Islam and our reformation. That we do this course, inshallah, we just devote ourselves and we'll get an idea how important and what salah will deliver for us. What is true reality of life? So Allah Ta'ala give us this tawfiq and understanding to realize that we bring this reality. So a person can be a great alim of deen also. He can be a great mufti also. He can be teaching the big, big masail of namaz, etc. But if that reality of namaz is not in him, that current is not in him, we see, and this is the condition today, sadly, a person is the imam in the masjid, when is his turn, he's punctual for namaz. The week when it's not his turn, he's not even there for namaz. Why? This current is not in us. The reality which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. So Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq and understanding to realize that we should bring this reality of deen in every aspect of our life, in every ibadat. Further, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala jo Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke razdar kehlate hain, wo bhi farmate hain ke sabse pehle namaz ka khushu utaye jayega. Hazrat Abu Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala was the secret keeper of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So another sahabi is also saying that the first thing that will be lifted from this world is khushu, concentration and devotion in salah. In other words, it will be taught. In the kitabs also it will be read. We will hear about how sahaba had devotion. But in us, no devotion. When we come to the masjid, we don't know where we are. That will come in front, as Hazrat explains. So, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa anhum say, kisi ne pucha ke khushu kya cheez hai. Somebody inquired from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, what is this khushu? What is this concentration and devotion you are talking about? Farmaya khushu dil mein hota hai. He said that khushu is the condition of the heart. This attentiveness of the heart. When you know you're standing in front of Allah. Like we explained, you just go into the court and you go into the box and you stand in front of the judge. You know the condition of your heart. Forget the judge. You just go for an ordinary test. And you know, ordinary simple person is testing you and how you're shaking already. So when this reality that we standing in front of Allah, when we say that Allahu Akbar, what that reality, then see a person got no time to scratch here, and how our Shaykh explains that the body should be totally at ease. Hazrat says that our Dada Shaykh says that you see when you leave the house, nothing is itching us, no scratching, nothing. You come into the masjid also, no real scratching, but the moment you start your namaz, Allahu Akbar, now it's itching you here. Now it's itching you by your beard. Now it's itching you there. And Hazrat explained, this itch is like the cough of the small children. That in the madrasa class also, children, the moment one child starts coughing, the next child starts coughing. And the next child. And you see the whole class, the ustad has to now reprimand them that stop coughing. So we also, and Hazrat says, sadly, I have seen good people, ulama, coming in the masjid, and in namaz, then we are digging diamonds also. And not only digging, we inspecting it. Is this the Kohinoor or what? Which diamond is this? How valuable it is. So just when we don't have this fear of Allah in the heart, then where our body is going to be motionless? Then we are moving around in salah. And further it is explained that how this condition of the heart should be. Hazrat Qatada radiallahu ta'ala kehte hai ke dil ka khushu Allah ta'ala ka khauf hai. What is this khushu of the heart, this concentration and devotion, which is a condition of the heart? This is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah aur nigaah ko neechi rakhna. And what is the sign that you got the fear of Allah? You'll keep your gazes low. In other words, at the spot where you have to keep your gazes. When you're standing, you look in your sajda position, etc. So, you keep your gazes low. You'll not be looking around some people openly, brazenly. Your eyes fall on certain people reading namaz. And you see they watching, looking out through the window, etc. Or sometimes with the side of your eyes you're looking. No, you're standing in front of Allah. You concentrate. You look down at your place of sajda, etc. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne ek martaba ek shakhs ko dekha ke namaz mein daari par haath pher raha hai. Irshad farmaya ke agar uske dil mein khushu hota to badan ke sare aza mein sukoon hota. One occasion Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a person playing with his beard, like we also in namaz, then we were making our beard straight and holding our beard, sadly our condition. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if this person had khushu, concentration and devotion, he had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, then he shouldn't be even touching his beard. He should be standing totally attentive and motionless in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes in Fazaili Namaz, which we should pay attention and listen, that this will build this eagerness that we must develop this khushu. We must bring this khushu in our life. And like Hazrat explains, the moment a person has got this fikr and this concern, this worry of my Islam, that I must make my reformation, and you start that course, that you find a spiritual guide, you find a chef, you take that, now already you're on your course. Allah Ta'ala regards you that this person is on his way of Islam. If you pass away in the process, you just started, and till life, our life comes to an end, our Islam won't come to an end. But Allah will count us among that person who did his course. So we also, if we make a firm niyat now, that I want to bring this khushu in my life, and I want to make this effort inshallah, then Allah Ta'ala will count us amongst those that have got this khushu, concentration and devotion in salah. And how much eagerness we have got, we'll see, we will make this effort and practice and try and bring it into our lives. Khushu ke mutalik aage is risale mein puri wazahat inshallah aa rahi hai. Hazrat says with regard to this khushu, which is very important, concentration and devotion, inshallah this whole kitab which has been printed, in detail it will be explained, inshallah, and it will be highlighted, it will be clarified to us what is khushu. But while we are at it here, this few important points we'll be discussing. Aur ye baat bhi ke haqeeqi khushu, yani dil ka khushu, kuch zikr wa shaghal karne ke baad hi hasil hota hai. And this also we should understand and realize that this khushu and devotion, just by reading, listening, and just by making intention what I said, it won't just come like that. A person has to do a special course, and a course, as we explained, a course in zikrullah. That is, learn from the mashayikh, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to take the name, those who have got the ma'rifah, the greatness of Allah. Like Hazrat explained so beautifully, we might be thinking, what Mana says, we have to learn how to make zikr. We know how to say subhanallah. We know how to say Allah, Allah. But Allah Akbar, Hazrat explains that if a person is told that if you take your wife's name 100 times, she'll get very happy. She'll be head over heels for you. Now you take a tasbih and you can stand next to her. Your wife's name is Fatima. Fatima, 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 Fatima. You finish your 100 tasbih by her. Well, she get happy. She'll say, you're making a mockery of me. We're going to do something else. So exactly the same. We learn that we must make zikr. Read 100 times, Allah, la ilaha illallah. We're finishing our tasbih. Allah, 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 Allah. But Hazrat says, if you take your wife's name 1 time with love, even you sleeping on the bed, she is also resting, but now you desired for a cup of tea and you say, Fatima, I wish you can make me a cup of tea. Before you even finish that name, she'll melt, she'll go and make for you. So when we learn to take the name of Allah 1 time, Allah, Allah, Allah. Like Hazrat explains, one page of Quran Sharif we read proper with etiquette, with adab, is better than that whole para that we completed. So to learn how to make the zikr and the spiritual exercises, and this we have to learn from a sheikh. Then this we will get, this khushu will start coming into our lives. Varna, to agar namazi ke dil mein khushu na ho, aur zahir mein sukoon ho, to hadith paak mein us munafiqana khushu se pana mangta hai. Otherwise, very important is this point, that if a person in his heart, he doesn't have khushu, he doesn't have concentration and devotion, the fear of Allah is not in our heart, but outwardly we trying to stand still, motionless, and put an outward picture, then this is regarded as the action of a hypocrite. And thus Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has in fact seek refuge, that Allah ta'ala save us from this outward the hypocrisy, hypocritical concentration and devotion of salah. And like it is mentioned very clearly, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala passed one person that was performing namaz and was still keeping his head down like a big Sufi. Then he took his stick and he poked him from the back and he said, "At-taqwa hauna, at-taqwa hauna." That taqwa and fear of Allah is in the heart. Don't put an outward picture of standing. So when we stand also in namaz, and inshallah this will be done towards the end, the practical namaz, how to stand, that we don't have to bow your head down, etc. Keep your head normal. Your gazes have to be down. And you have to realize, I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stand with proper etiquette, stand with proper adab, etc. So this reality to understand, that we don't put an outward picture of khushu, we get the reality. And this reality, a whole course has to be done. And this course is not difficult, as Hazrat explains in front, it's an easy course, but we just have to be devoted to this. And if we don't pay attention towards this course, then in another ayat of the Qur'an Kareem, which we have learned also day before, dusri jagah be khabri se namaz padne walo ke mutalliq irshad hai. That with regard to those people who are reading namaz in an unmindful state, they're not even aware, like Hazrat says, that sadly today our condition is that we just drop our body in the masjid and our soul is doing all the other work. Like we left our business, you came to the masjid, but your body is here, your heart is still in the business. You're still thinking, hey, that customer, I hope they served him properly. I hope they made that deal properly. Or your heart is in cricket, or your heart is in the worst, in the club or somewhere. You don't know where you are, like our Hazrat says today, you take your wife shopping or something, you tell her, I'll drop you here by this shop, I'll just go to the bank, I'll come pick you up. So we tell our body that I'll leave you here, I'll just go and finish my business work, or I'll go and finish this order, etc. So our soul is roaming all over the show, and we're not even in salah. With regard to such a salah, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, great warning, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاعُونَ. Destruction and curse be for those people who read namaz. That is, we are happy, we are reading my namaz, but الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. They are totally unmindful of salah. Just reading namaz for show, that my wife must see, I went to the masjid, people must see me. Like Hazrat says, one person, Allahu Akbar, one person mentioned to Hazrat, that I am very paban with my namaz, everybody knows that I'm in the first surf. One day it happened, I got late in my business and I was going to miss my first surf. If I wasn't there in time, namaz would have started and I didn't have my wuzu. I thought, let me just go in the first surf. Without wuzu, what's the reality of it? So just to show people. So Allah Ta'ala save me and all of us today, just to put on a show, is great warnings in the Qur'an Kareem. So to develop this khushu, this concentration, this devotion, as it is mentioned in front, it will be explained. But at this juncture, Hazrat explains this important point, that there is a difference. Many people get a misconception. What is khushu and what is istighraq? Khushu and concentration and devotion is a condition that every person can attain if you work on it. And one is istighraq, to be absorbed in namaz. Many people think concentration, I must be absorbed. Like we hear, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala was performing salah and a snake fell from the roof on his child. And it tangled himself round the child. And everybody in the house was screaming, big noise. He didn't hear a word. He was absorbed in namaz. Or like it is mentioned, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala had a spear that was the an arrow that targeted his leg. Now it was very painful to take it out. So he said, let me perform my salah. When I perform my salah, you can pull it out. I won't even know. That was his anesthetic. So he was totally engrossed and overtaken. That is istighraq. A person is absorbed totally. That is not a requirement of salah. That is a bonus from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's meritorious. Whoever Allah ta'ala grants it, very good. Allah ta'ala is so kind. Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That a person is not given a command which is beyond his ability. So khushu is something that every person can develop on his own. Istighraq is something that's not so easy. It doesn't just, this is a special gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Hazrat explained, Allahu Akbar, Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu ta'ala islam, Hazrat Mawlana Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi says, that I had one question in my mind, that I didn't have the answer. And I was worried with regard to this question, but it was kept in my mind. He also Hazrat explained that Hakimul Ummat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi explained a very, very important point here, that every question should not be asked to any person. That you have a question in your mind, important question, and you're asking some young person, some children, and now they don't even know the answer, now you put doubt in their mind also. And every question should not be asked in every gathering also. Because it's not appropriate if the answer is given, general answer, and people take the answer according to their, they will make a big mistake. Like one sheikh was having a majlis, one person came and asked a question, that Hazrat, I want to keep a revolver, a gun. So Hazrat saw the person, he knew him, he said, how is it permissible for me? He said, no, for you, very good. Keep a gun, it's permissible for you, you should have it, and the protection. And not long another person came, he said, Hazrat, I want to keep a revolver, can I keep it? Hazrat said, no, haram for you, you're not allowed to keep it. So after the majlis, few friends asked Hazrat, but both those people came, same question, and you gave different answers to the people. He says, the first one, I knew he's a person responsible, he doesn't want to keep a gun to cause harm to anybody, he wants to keep for his protection, for him is very good. The other person I saw, he's perplexed, he's worried, he can commit suicide. If he has that gun, he's going to shoot himself. So see, we have to understand. So every question should not be asked in every gathering also. And don't just ask it to any person also. So like here Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says, I had this question in my mind. And I didn't just ask, because there are many good ulama at that time also would not have able to answer my question. But while I was reading namaz one time, Allah Ta'ala put the answer in my heart. And what was this? That I thought that we hear that how these sahaba radiallahu anhu were so absorbed in namaz. But we hear with regard to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that at times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even made a mistake in his salah. Instead of 4 rakats, read 5 rakats. So where can we ever say that a sahabi's namaz can ever, aliyazu billah, be better than the Nabi's namaz? Never ever. The namaz of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of such a caliber. Then what is this? So Allah ta'ala put the thought in my mind that, and a beautiful example Hazrat gave, that if you see that there's a river in front of you, and you see a person, there's two people, one a person on this side of the river, he's standing outside of the river, one side or one person on the other side of the river. They both look like now they're thinking they want to swim across the river. But there's a big difference between the two people. The one on this side of the river, he still has to go in there and swim the river. The one on that side, he went, he already swam, he's already out of the river. He passed all the current and everything. So exactly the same. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed all the stages of marifat, etc. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's namaz used to be absorption with Allah Rabbul Izzah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be by the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed the scores as it is come, as it is mentioned, with regard to the tahajjud of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After tahajjud namaz, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell his beloved wife, our beloved mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, her pet name was Humaira, that Ya Humaira, kallimini. That, oh Humaira, talk to me now, talk to me, I just finished my tahajjud. And how Hazrat says, our Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi put it so beautifully in our language. He says that, let my plane land down now. I was by the arsh of Allah. I was out of this world. Now I have to go and perform Fajr Namaz with my people. So to talk to me, let me come down to earth. Let me come. So this was the absorption of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But what we have to understand, that we don't have to be absorbed in our namaz. We have to have devotion, concentration. You will know what is happening around you. No problem. But your concentration and devotion. So to understand this reality, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't put commands upon us, that is not within our ability. So in this regard, لہذا حضرات عارفین نے بارو نماز پڑھنے کے طریقہ بھی بیان فرماتے ہیں فرمائے ہیں. That is why we find in the عارفین, those who have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullahi alayhi, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, have written kitabs on how to make a namaz that is barru, a namaz that has got life, a namaz that has got current. And Hazrat says, an easy example to understand this, you got a new house and all the appliances are all there kept in the house, the latest appliances. You got your microwave, you got your dishwasher, you got your oven, etc. But the electric current is not connected. Now they're asking you, why don't you on the stove, let us make a cup of tea, no current. The fan, why it's so hot on the fan, you can't get no current. So exactly the same, that outwardly we got the namaz in our life, all this ibadat, but there's no current flowing. There's no what namaz has to deliver. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Namaz will remove all types of evil and bad and the bad qualities from your life. This reality, because there's no current in our namaz. What zakat will give us, humbleness and feeling for the poor, that we don't have. That what the qurbani will give us, that spirit of giving our life for Allah, that is, instead of committing a sin, I'll give my life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hajj will give us the true spirit of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this is not in us. We don't have this current in us. But this current we have to go, when a person goes to the mashayikh and do a cause in the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you do a cause in the zikrullah, how to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you do a practical cause in salah, then see, as the current comes into you, now salah is a different thing. When a person, if you're working in a coal engine, and you are filling coal, now your clothes have become black with that suit, now another black spot, it doesn't affect you. You don't. So now we're living in this environment that full of the sins and dirt. So salah we just perform as we are performing. No effect of it. We don't feel even the difference. But let that person wear clean white clothes. Now he feels the difference. He's out of that condition. So exactly the same when we start getting this current. And this current we have to get from those people who got the current. From the friends of Allah, the mashayikh. And fortunate Allah Ta'ala has brought us here. For this special reason that we get this current, and now see one, two rakats of salah, what difference it will be. That a person, Allahu Akbar, that you purify your whole life. A person who is a criminal and he's got charges against him, he feels so shy to even meet people, etc. But when all the charges are wiped out from him, and now there's no nothing against his name, now you feel honorable. Now you feel so. Similarly, a person who brings reality in his salah, and the salah starts taking out all the different sins from our life, all the filth and dirt, and now you see what enjoyment, how to love, how to walk around in society, you feel honorable. You feel nice. Like Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah used to say, when people come to me for their islah, they come like dirty clothes. And dirty clothes, when a person takes it, he just throws it one side, he throws it in the linen bun also, there's no respect for that bun, then I have to put it through a process. In those days, the dhobis, the washerman used to wash the clothes, heat it on the rocks, etc., take out all that, then it has to be hanged in the hot sun, that we can't bear the sun for 2 minutes when it's hot. Then after that hot sun, the little water is sprinkled and a hot iron is put over that. Now when that clothes are pressed and now it's given, that same clothes that you kicked around, now it's presented with honor, with respect, with dignity. So here when we come to our sheikh, we like myself, like dirty clothes. We come here today with washing machines, how it will cycle us and spin us, hot water, cold water, and all that process if we go through, and we learn this process, and then when we are pressed, now everybody will say, MashaAllah. What is your wife also, like Hazrat says previously, if you tell your wife that I'm going 40 days, no, it's okay, 4 months also is fine. Why 40 days? If you're going to the Khanka, I'm going 40 days, no, you can spend 2 months also at your Shaykh, is okay. But when we go to this process and we are Ayn, and now you come later late from the masjid, say, where were you? I was waiting for you. And when you go going out also, she is worried. So this condition Allah Ta'ala give us. And where we will get this, Hazrat explains that jinn mein ek bahut hi mubarak aur muasir Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi ki taqreer hai, jo arsa hua Anwarus Salah ke naam se tabah hua, tabah hokar ab nayab ho chuki. The author of this kitab, Sufi Iqbal Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that when I saw this, the one of the bayans of how to get this concentration in namaz is this kitab that was printed there, that this bayan of Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi, that was printed in a kitab form, and it was then after long it went out of print. It was very rare to get this kitab. So when I saw this kitab, usko dekhkar khud banda ka aur deegar ahbab ka taqaza hua ki usko dobara tabah karaya jaye, ki is mukhtasar risala ko jisne bhi parha be-ikhtiyar ash ash kar uta ke subhanallah, kya namaz hai, kya hal hai qurrat aini fi salah ki puri misal. That when I saw this kitab, the desire came into me, and my other friends when they saw, they say, what a kitab. That this is such a kitab that will teach us what is namaz. And from the depth we all were overtaken. Wah, wah, what a kitab. How we wish, subhanallah, this kitab can be printed again. And we can learn this kitab and get this condition. And then we'll understand and realize what was the salah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, Qurratu aini fi salah. The coolness of my eyes in salah. This is a proverbial statement which explains extreme enjoyment, extreme pleasure when a person is doing certain action. Like a person loves a certain type of food or fruit and he gets it, how he enjoys it and how he overtaken. So exactly the same for us to get this enjoyment, this deliciousness in our salah and all our ibadat, we have to do the scores inshallah. And when we do the scores inshallah, then we'll see, like it is mentioned, it's maybe not a hadith, but it's a reality, that as-salatu mirajul mu'min. Namaz is a miraj of the believer. How Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to the arsh of Allah, then when we start our salah, we'll be going up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for this, Allah ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq, that we do the scores properly, and make dua also to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and request dua from our shaykh also, that Allah ta'ala make it easy for us to work towards this reality. And this reality also, it's not just one course, now it's an easy course to know about it, but after that we have to continue for the rest of our lives. And as you continue improving your salah, you realize my salah is still very weak. And that is a good sign of a person. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.